Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iOS Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Today, the eternal struggle to get your personal DVD collection on your iOS devices.
By the way, that's about how long it takes. Also, I'm going to show you an art program that will make you rage.
And I will review this lovely iPad Pro case with a space for your Apple Pencil.
Stick it right in there. Look at that. It's time for iOS Today! This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the online marketplace for buying and selling used gadgets. Shop from a variety of certified pre-owned electronics or trade one in for cash. Give new life to a used device at gazelle.com today. And by the Ring video doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/iOS today. And by audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/iOS today. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Hello. I am Megan Maroney.
I'm Leo Laporte. This is the show where we talk about iOS, and I mean iOS. iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple TV, anything with iOS in it, even the Apple TV remote, which we have now come to the conclusion universally is the worst remote ever.
So far, it is not so great.
But there's good stuff in it. It's the fact that you can access. First of all, we have all sorts of problems. We bought a brand new one. We still have problems with it.
We restarted it.
That helped.
Yes.
Like with all Apple products, where a reboot does seem to help. Mm-hmm. But the real problem, and I've talked to so many people who have Apple, the new Apple TV, is you accidentally hit that trackpad.
Yeah.
And the movie you're watching rewinds suddenly, and it's like,
Yeah. And John pointed out today, it's like, why is the Lightning port
looks exactly
like
the
IR port? Yeah. Is that what that's called? Yeah. So.
However, I love talking to my Apple TV.
I do, too.
I had to teach Lisa, because she's saying, oh, let me rewind it. And I said, no, Lisa, you could just press the Siri button and say, skip back a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Or, and I'm loving, what did she say?
Right.
Because it skips back, 30 seconds and then puts on the closed captioning. I just think this is a great feature. So.
It is. Yeah, I heard my kids were talking to it yesterday. One of my boys, I was in the other room, I heard them say, Siri, show me some tsunami movies that I might like.
And it worked?
No.
Oh.
Tsunami was not. It was like, show me mommy movies or something.
Mommy
it did not
movies.
Work.
Siri can be a little infuriating.
Yeah. Way. But I like that they were giving it the old college try, you know.
No, that's good. Their world probably, I mean, Milo and Huck are in, what, fifth grade?
Mm-hmm.
Their world is going to be full of things they can talk to and will respond to them,
right.
I predict.
I like how they thought that she would know what they would like. That was really interesting.
Someday she will.
She will, exactly.
And then
someday,
we'll say, privacy concerns! Children under 13, they know what we like!
Exactly. All right, so speaking of kids and movies, I have this whole collection of DVDs that I bought for my kids, and now none of my devices have a DVD player, and I have my Apple TV.
I can help you with that. I have a whole collection of VHS tapes you could have.
Great.
That'll
Perfect.
Make it better.
Because that's what this, that's the secret to this iPad Pro case. It's got a VHS player in there. No, and I just want to figure it. I thought it would be so much easier to get my DVDs on my iOS devices. It was incredibly complicated. It took a lot of time, and I have all this access to experts. So, first of all, let's talk about, is this legal what I want to do? My own DVDs
Ooh.
That I've purchased? I want a backup. I kind of want to get rid of them, but I also want to just make sure if something horrible happens to them that I still have the movie.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't say technically if it's legal or not. You know, there was a Analog Recording Act that allowed you to make copies of analog recordings, and then Congress modified it to the Digital Recording Act that said, yeah, but if it's digital, you can't make a copy. I think probably the DMCA says it's technically illegal. However, I think this is the most important. That's the letter of the law. The spirit of the law is that you should always be able to make archival copies for backup purposes of things you own. So I don't think it would be any question it would be illegal for you to rent a movie from the library or a DVD store, make a copy of it, and then give it back. You don't own that. Mm-hmm. But if you've purchased the movie and you could show a judge, no, see, Your Honor, I have a copy of this DVD, but there's no DVD slot on my iPad. I need to change the format so I could watch it. No judge in the land is going to convict you of a crime for that. That is kind of... maybe not the letter of the law, but the spirit is, for archival purposes, backup copies of stuff you own. That's okay. So that would be my... and by the way, that's ethically and morally the case as well. You don't want to steal from somebody. But if you already purchased the movie, to transfer it to a different format so that you can make it more convenient for you, I don't think that's a problem. You're not going to sell it. You're not going to give it to friends. You just want to watch it on your iPad.
And it's complicated, right? Because I'm not talking about obscure films or anything. I'm talking about, like, the Harry Potter movies, you know, things that I can get, I can pay for on iTunes.
Yeah.
But I don't want to pay for them again because I already paid for them.
That might be the argument movie companies make. They also now include digital copies. Not very useful, but they include digital copies on DVDs now to try to avert this problem. Mm-hmm. But really, as long as you're not sharing it on BitTorrent sites, you're not giving it to friends, you're not rolling out a blanket on your front lawn, DVDs for sale, come get your DVDs, you're probably not going to have a problem.
Well, that might be my alternative career, but, you know, if this doesn't pan out.
I'll show you the traditional method. And for that, I'm going to need a computer. Now, you can do this with a Mac or a PC. I'm showing you a Mac, but these very same programs work on a PC. The first one you're going to download is called Handbrake. Now, there are many programs that do this. There are even some commercial programs that do this. But Handbrake is free. It comes from Handbrake, like a handbrake in a car, B-R-A-K-E, .fr. And you see, it's the open source video transcoder. One of the things Handbrake will say, because they don't want to go to jail, and you'll see this if you download it and you say, now I want to rip DVDs, is, oh, if you want to rip DVDs, you need one more program, also free, although they ask for... a contribution. It's the VideoLAN client at videoLAN.org. So you'll need both these free programs. VLC, everybody should have a copy of VLC. It's even available on iOS, but you should have it on your PC or Mac. This allows you to play back DVDs on your computer because it has built in a DVD player. What happens when you play a DVD? By the way, for Blu-rays, this is different. Okay. Mm-hmm. For Blu-rays, you probably do have to buy. It goes to a company like Slysoft, which is operating offshore. They're in Trinidad and Tobago, I think, so that they don't have to worry about U.S. laws, because that, you know, it's a little more complicated. So to make a copy of a Blu-ray, you're going to get a commercial program. I recommend Slysoft.com. Their Blu-ray Ripper is a great program. This is for DVDs, but you're talking DVDs, right?
Yep.
You also need one more thing you probably don't have. You need a DVD player, like one that attaches to your computer. Good news is they're not expensive. Apple SuperDrive is under $100. There's even cheaper ones for PCs. They're USB. You plug them in, and they should work without any additional software or drivers. You download VLC, put a DVD in, launch VLC, see if you can play the DVD. If you can, you're golden. Next step is to run Handbrake. Let me run Handbrake and show you why this is the one I recommend. Oh, and you're going to get...
So is that system integrity protection that you're...
Yeah. So on a Mac, and I think this is a great thing. The guys who made Handbrake didn't bother to go to Apple and get a certificate. It's not that unusual. And so when I try to double-click it, Handbrake can't be identified or it can't be opened.
That's where I gave up.
No. It's very simple. You right-click on the program and you select Open. Then it's going to say, oh, well, it's from an unidentified developer. You sure you want to open? Now, folks, don't do this with... something else. This is only to be done with programs you know to be safe, and I'm telling you, Handbrake is safe. So then it will open, and it will never ask you again, by the way. You can now open it without any difficulty. This is important, and this is the reason I recommend Handbrake. It's asking you to open that DVD. If you've opened it in VLC, you'll be able to open it and rip it. Look into the devices, and this is why I love Handbrake. It says, well, what are you ripping it for? iPod, iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, 1, 2, or 3? This makes it very easy. You can go in and modify the settings, but my recommendation is you accept these presets because they will give you the best results on the device you're using. Don't start messing around. In fact, if you do, they'll even say, don't start messing around, but if you really insist, we'll let you do this.
So it doesn't have an Apple TV 4, because that's what we have, the fourth generation.
It's okay to use the Apple TV 3. Okay. It's no different.
Got it.
All right. So, and by the way... just because you rip it for the Apple TV 3 doesn't mean it won't play on the iPad.
just the best.
You might have to play with it a little bit to find out which is the most compatible, highest quality. My guess is that anything ripped for the Apple TV 3 will work just fine on the iPad. And this has Dolby Digital Audio, so, you know. If not, rip it for the iPad. Rip it for the thing you're going to use it on the most, and then try it on the other device. And you may have to rip it again. When you rip this, ripping does not mean rip off. Although it sounds like it does. It means you're taking the bits off of an optical disc and you're copying them to the hard drive. You're just copying the files. And you're doing more than that with Handbrake. You're transcoding. You're taking it from the MPEG-2 format that a DVD is stored in and copying it into a format that the iPad understands, an MP4 format. That's transcoding. And that's what takes all the time. Ripping's pretty quick because it's just a copy from the DVD. Transcoding depends on how fast your machine is. And that means it's just going to crank a while and turn the file format into a new file format. Once that's done, you copy it to your iPad. You can hook it up to iTunes, or you can use the over-the-air copying. And these files are large. It'd probably be better to hook it up to the iPad and then copy it over. And it should play just fine in your videos. You have a program for playing videos. It's called Videos. It should play just fine in your videos program. You'll notice... Now, maybe they've changed this, because it used to say your videos. Now it says movies, TV shows, music videos. Maybe because I don't have any movies on here. It should say your videos as well, and then you'll see all your videos in there. So that's the, to me, that's the old-fashioned way. That's the easy way to do it.
Okay, so here's what another thing that I encountered, and also Lust Ruser in the chat room is saying that you need Lib DVD CSS for copyrighted DVDs.
That's not true.
Okay.
I don't think that's true. You should read the instructions when you download Handbrake. Okay. It was my understanding, and it may have changed, that that's the copy protection cracker, DCSS, right. That VLC has that built in. If it doesn't, yes, you'll have to download that.
Okay, because that was a lot of consonants together.
The full instructions are with Handbrake, because they used to do this, and they say, you know, we don't want to get in trouble with U.S. courts. By the way, you're not going to get in trouble for doing this, but if a company makes software that does this, the risk is that pirates will use that software. So they are prosecutable for sure. You're doing it for personal use for archival copy. I don't think that's ever going to be a problem.
And I think we should say that, like you said before, don't bypass this with any old app. Just don't go to Google and say, like, how do I rip my DVDs? Because that's where you're going to run into malicious. If you're already doing something that is... That might be illegal. That's where you're going to run into malicious websites, malicious apps, things you don't want to get involved in.
So there's the traditional way of doing it.
Okay. So then when you have it all, then where do you put it? Because everybody had been talking about Plex. Like, that's the place where you can organize your media library, watch it on your iPad, watch it. So it's like
Plex is
collection.
Designed to play video from some other source. In fact, we'll show you Plex in a bit on an Apple TV, because it's now out on the Apple TV, which is awesome. Yeah. But if it's already on your iPad, you know, when you sync it, the iTunes will put it in the right place. You don't have to know where to put it. And if it's already on your iPad, it'll show up in video. So that's the program.
So what you're saying is you don't have enough space to keep all of these DVDs on your iPad. You don't want it. Where would you keep them? Just on your
laptop? I don't know about
you,
but my kid would watch Bambi over and over and over and over and over again. So all I needed was
one movie. Okay.
Actually,
well, now we're into like the 5 Harry Potter movies.
But they're about a gigabyte each, so you probably have room for 20 or 30 movies on your iPad. That's quite a few movies.
Yeah, that's enough.
You might have to change it from time to time.
Right.
Incidentally, in my day, I cut the scene out where, no spoilers here, but a bad thing happens to Bambi's mom. And I didn't want my poor kid to say, what? So I, in the VCR days, I had to actually pause the DVD, pause the recording, and do all that. Now, you got it on a computer, you can just edit it out.
Right.
Easy.
Or you just say, Siri, do not traumatize my child.
Yeah. Or you could edit in, like, Bambi's mom gets up and walks off and says, I'm fine, but I hate you kids, so I'm leaving. You know, something to explain her disappearance.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Makes the kids feel so much better.
Yeah, as long as you're messing around, you might as well
You could get... You saw the Saturday Night Live, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, playing Bambi, coming back for revenge against the hunter.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see that.
You can put that in there at the end. Once you've got it on disc, you can do anything you want. Just don't release it. Don't sell it on your lawn.
All right, so Handbrake... you know, you and Iaz also have a video. You did this back in 2012.
Yeah, we did it on KnowHow.
On KnowHow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could watch that.
And we talk about Handbrake, right?
Yep.
Okay, so all the details, if you want more details, are there. And notice what we call that episode. Scroll down a little bit there. Back up. your DVDs. Mm-hmm. Not make a pirate copy of DVDs for sale on your lawn.
Don't do that.
Leo didn't tell you to do that.
All right, so I want to talk about Plex, but you have some other... how do you watch?
One of the reasons that this seems like it's less important now is you can stream video. Mm-hmm. You can not only buy it on iTunes, but in many cases, if you have a cable subscription, your DVR may have this capability. I'll show you. I have two different DVRs at home. One's a TiVo, and one of the great reasons to own a TiVo is this great TiVo software that allows you to watch whatever's on your TiVo, whatever's on your TV right now, and even set recordings if you want. So I can completely control my TiVo as if I'm there. This is the TiVo in my den. So there, I think a lot of the newer devices, DVRs and so forth, give you that capability, which is fabulous. There's very few restrictions. Oh, can I not watch this? Oh, because it's not on right now. I have to watch what's on. I should probably not watch TV. We're doing a show.
We are.
But this is really handy. So that's TiVo, and that'll work with any cable television system. You might have to get a cable card. There's also over-the-air systems like Channel Master do much the same thing. And this is my cable company. Now, I'm Comcast, but if you're Time Warner or Cox, you probably have something like this. This is called Xfinity On Demand. Same thing. I can see their on-demand stuff. I can see their TV series. I could see movies on demand. I can watch current. Oh, let's watch Premier League. I can watch current TV. And this is streaming over the internet. You know, we've also done ads for solutions like this. What was the Dish bought? What was it?
I was going to say Unity, because that's another, but that's more like Plex.
No, how could I have forgotten this? Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, what was the advertiser we used to have? Oh, I can't believe I forgot them. Yeah, Sling Player. Yeah, thank you. What am I, an idiot? So your Sling Player will do this similarly. If you have a Sling, which is a great solution, that basically takes your home TV and home theater system, puts it on the internet so you can do this, you can watch it. So to me, the only time that this doesn't work is on a plane, in a car, where you don't have internet connection. Mm-hmm. And for that, you probably do want to have physical movies. But if I'm in a hotel room, I've got my whole home theater available to me, but either through Sling Player, through TiVo, through my cable company, that kind of thing.
Yes, that's a good question. So I wanted to do this because we were traveling in the car.
Yeah, in the car.
But Amazon Prime will let you do that. We did download a few movies. You can now download some movies from Amazon Prime.
Right.
We did that. It takes a long time, but we did it. And then you can only have it for 24 hours, too. So know that when you do that. But the collection of movies that Amazon Prime will let you download is pretty slim. You just kind of have to look around and find what you're looking for and then download it, and then you'll have it on your device.
There are also, and these are great solutions, a number of companies make these. This is the Seagate Free Agent Go, but there are a lot of companies that make hard drives with Wi-Fi connections.
Oh.
So you can have that, charge it up in the car. Is this? I can't remember if this one does or not, but there are a number of them that do this. You charge it up in the car, and it has Wi-Fi, and then you can a number of you can watch movies on individual iPads using the Wi-Fi, and that works pretty well. So there's quite a few of these. Is that one of them? I can't remember. I have several of these at home. I don't use them that much. SanDisk makes one? Oh, yeah, I have that in the drawer of my... actually, you can get that in my desk drawer. Oh, yeah,
amazing
that.
What you got in there.
I don't use that much, but SanDisk makes a thing that you put memory card in. So you copy the movie onto the memory card, put it in this little SanDisk device, and then it streams to your tablet or
that
your
makes
PC.
Sense. So keeping this on the cloud doesn't make sense. Like we talked about last week, there was the guy who made the home movies, and he wanted to share them in the cloud, and you said just use Handbrake and give people...
Put it on, give them a memory card. Yeah. There's lots of ways to do that. There are a lot of products that will do that kind of thing. What was the Western Digital? Western Digital had one with Wi-Fi as well.
And Rob is asking if there's a difference between Sling Box and Sling TV, and there's a big difference. That was the weird thing when Sling TV came out. Why did they name it that? It was very different.
So Sling TV is a subscription service that you pay for, and kind of like the TiVo and Xfinity app that I showed, will have streaming TV channels, including CNN and ESPN, on your... for that, you don't need a cable subscription.
But that was the
20
a la
bucks
carte.
A month.
Yeah.
That's different than your Sling Box, which is a piece of hardware you put in your home entertainment system, and it streams free. Once you've got it, it streams to the internet. And that makes it really cool. There you go. Actually, this is legitimate. You might be wanting to watch the football playoffs and the Super Bowl on the road. I was, you know, don't tell anybody, but during Twit last night, I was watching the football game on my computer because CBS streamed that.
Really? Why?
And you know what's cool is I could rewind. So I missed the touchdown, the Broncos touchdown.
Because you were talking about augmented reality?
I don't know. We were talking about something on the show. I can't remember. Ben Thompson, you know, he was talking. So I just did the rewind thing, and I was able to watch the touchdown again. No, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't.
I could have done that.
Okay.
I don't know. Is the Super Bowl, in the past, the Super Bowl has been a Verizon exclusive. But I think that the NFL is very smart about streaming. You're going to see more and more streaming.
I think so.
In fact, why not? If you think about it, what do they care if, as long as you see the commercials, what do they care if you watch it on a television set or a digital device? Well, they care a lot. But I think as time goes by, the networks, the cable companies are going to start to wise up. And they're going to come up with solutions like HBO Now.
Right.
And Showtime. Is it Showtime Anytime?
Anytime.
That allow you, if not without a subscription, to pay for a subscription and watch it. They call it over the top. Watch it over the internet, not over your cable company. I think increasingly, in the years to come, this question, I hope, will go away. We won't be worried about
right.
that.
Right. And I love those apps on the Apple TV because then you can just have that one app. You don't have to worry. And I've heard some people complain, like, that the app ecosystem on TV is really complicated. But all you have to, again, you just use Siri and you say, you know, you ask Siri what you want to see, and then she will find it wherever it is, whether it's Netflix or Showtime or HBO. And
you know what, Jason, you could probably stop searching for that because it didn't spark joy.
It didn't. So you threw it away? Good. All right, so can we talk about Plex now? Is now the time to talk about Plex?
Show it. You okay. Talk about it. You got it on your Apple TV.
So let's say you had ripped all your DVDs, like John did. He has ripped all his DVDs.
Jammer B, John Slimina.
So this is his Plex account, so I have it on the Apple TV.
He lives like a couple of blocks away, so we're doing this over the internet.
From his house. So we kind of, you know.
Now, we pre-started it because it took about 5 minutes to get the movie going.
Right.
So that's something you should know about. I don't know if that's because John's server is slow. Or because it does a lot of buffering over a slow connection, but it works. Here we go. Watch.
Yeah. So that's what it looks like.
It's buffering.
So this is the movie Nine.
Now, one issue, and you had this issue too. Mm-hmm. It's labeled as the Lego movie.
Yeah.
That's not the Lego movie.
No, and I had the same thing. It labeled one of my kids' GoPro videos as a Kevin Smith movie or something. So I have Plex also on the iPad. And I'm also, you can show this, I'm also logged into John's server. So this looks like some Star Trek episode, something or other, with Whoopi Goldberg. And it's doing the same thing. So it's just...
That's just startup time. Once it starts, it'll play.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of Plex, and again, I'm not sure that that's a Plex issue. That's
could be
just
server,
on,
yeah.
on servers slow.
Because people love Plex.
Yeah. So generally speaking... You press play, and it takes a little time, but eventually the movie would play. And the thing is, you can store thousands of movies on giant hard drives in your house and stream them over the internet. Plex is such a good solution. It is free, and it's not free. It's many of the apps are free, but if you need a Plex, often you need a Plex pass to do some of the things you want to do. So you might have to figure it out.
And that's a monthly subscription.
Yeah,
to
I think
Plex
so.
Pass.
Yeah. Plex is worth looking into. I, you know, they changed the Plex Pass rules, so I'm not sure. I'm a little bit in the dark about exactly what you need to do. Yeah, there's the... Click the Get a Plex Pass button, a little lower right there. And we could see what you get with the Plex Pass. Yeah, mobile sync, cloud sync, Plex Home. Yeah, I think for a lot of the things people want to do, you need that Plex Pass. And how much? It's not horrible. $5 a month. $39.99
a month.
Year.
Yeah, $40 a year. $150 yeah. for your lifetime.
Yeah, if you used it a lot, it'd probably be worth buying the lifetime subscription.
Yeah. So let's take a look at what this looks like when it isn't on the Apple TV. So he has a folder full of movies. We can back up. And his collections are in here. So it's if you have already... ripped all your DVDs, and, you know, he has a lot of TV shows, too, so this was a long process. He's got pictures of garbage cans. I guess those are, like, is that his backyard security cam? So it just takes all of the videos.
All media.
And puts it on there.
John is now the king of all his media.
He is.
Yes.
So if you want to, I mean, I'm guessing that a lot of people watching this have already know full well how Plex works and uses it at home.
This is a great solution, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then you can also use Siri to search what's in your library the same way. But slow.
Siri will work on the Plex library?
I don't know. Let's see.
No.
What were some? The Martian.
Yeah, it's going to show you the iTunes solution, right? Well, let's see.
Well, let's see.
Now select it. The Siri's supposed to do cross-platform search. Yeah, it wants you to buy it,
show
baby.
Plex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Well,
how did you get the Martian?
You can buy it.
Oh, you can? Okay, good.
Yeah, look, you can buy it. It's $14.99.
Okay.
We went through that. You want to buy it?
No.
I've seen it. It's worth it.
Why do people buy movies if they're not 5 years old?
Well, I don't know. I have 10-year-olds. We're going to... we were thinking about buying that this weekend. We didn't.
I only buy it if I have to. I mean, you could watch it 3 times for the price to buy it. You're going to watch it more than 3 times?
If you're a kid, yeah. If it's the
Martian,
if you're
a kid, yeah. I understand that.
Over the course of... Well, this is a great movie.
Yeah, but are you ever... Really?
I'll probably watch
it. Now that you know what happens, you're going to watch it 3 more times?
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The kids might watch it, like, when they have friends over.
See, I buy movies, and then I always kick myself. It's like, I'm not going to watch that ever again.
What about the DVD commentary?
Yeah. Well, you don't get the DVD commentary.
Well, you get some iTunes extras, probably. Or do you? Are there iTunes extras on it?
We'd have to buy it to find out.
No, they tell you.
I feel like buying it just
No, just because my credit card.
I accidentally bought The Martian.
Now you bought it twice.
No, I didn't buy it at all.
Oh.
All right, well, I think that we've covered this. I don't think anyone has any other questions about this at all.
No,
it's totally
easy. But the chat room says, come on, Leo, tell everybody about Renee Ritchie's favorite program. And actually, this works Windows, Mac, and Linux, and it will rip DVDs and Blu-ray discs, although you have to pay for the Blu-ray capability. It's called Make MKV at makemkv.com. Again, this is a PC program, Mac, PC, Linux. But it will open DVD and rip DVD discs. It's not a complete solution for you because it's going to rip it to the MKV format. And that isn't a format that you can play natively on the iPad. You probably can if you have a VLC client on the iPad. So, in fact, I'm sure you can.
One other thing to mention is the Disney Movies Anywhere. You've talked about that before.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's
because I bought Star Wars on, I think, Amazon, or maybe I bought it on iTunes,
iTunes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I signed up at Disney Anywhere, and it made it available to me on all the services that Disney Anywhere supports, most of the big services. So I can watch it on Amazon, Google Play, or iTunes, even though I only bought it once.
So this is when, if you bought Bambi like 100 years ago, would it do that?
I bought a video cassette. They probably don't even know I exist.
You can't just say, just trust me, I bought Bambi.
Or I'm going to get a note that says, you edited Bambi?
What?
That's highly illegal. So this is cool. You don't have to buy on Disney Anywhere to use Disney Anywhere. You just need an account. You could buy
That's
it somewhere
free
else.
Account.
And yeah, the free account. And they do have an app. I'm showing the website, but they do have an app as well. So this is, yeah, if you got kids, you really ought to know about
that. Yeah, because we laid out the $98 for the Star Wars, all of them, all six
of them.
Was
it that much?
Yep. And it seems like they should have included The Force Awakens in there. Because
yeah,
they stuck you with the three prequels that...
Right. They did that with The Hobbit. I've bought The Lord of the Rings 7 or 8 times.
Yeah.
DVD, Blu-ray, digital. They just keep getting you.
We should thank one of our sponsors.
And I'm the one who said, don't ever buy a movie, right?
You did say that.
And have I watched The Lord of the Rings again? No.
No.
Our show today brought to you by, not Geico, but something else that begins with a G.
Gazelle!
Gazelle is the place to go if you've got an old iPhone, iPad, Samsung phone, tablet, Surface tablet, and you want to get rid of it gently instead of just throwing it in a drawer. Get some money for it. Go to gazelle.com. They buy used devices and give you top dollar. And if you just want to know, well, how much is this worth? Use Gazelle. They'll give you a quote that's good for 30 days with no obligation. You don't have to sell it, but at least find out what those old electronics are worth. They will send you a check, a PayPal credit, or an Amazon gift card. And by the way, if you're an Amazon user, that's a great deal because they bump the value by 5%. You can also not just sell to Gazelle, but buy. And this is a new feature that I really like. They will sell you used iPhones. They say pre-owned. Okay, but we know that means used. Used iPhones, iPads, or Samsung Galaxy phones. But here's the deal. You get to choose the quality like new, gently used, and everything you buy from Gazelle's already gone through that very rigorous 30-point inspection. Things like, not just pure functionality, but scratches on the glass, that kind of thing. They want to make sure it's in perfect shape for you, and you have 30 days to return it. So it's completely risk-free. Save more by buying it a little bit more gently worn, but that's not going to bother you, especially if you're replacing an old device, a broken device, or it's for your kids. This is a great way to get a great price on a pre-owned device. iPhone 4S through 6 Plus, iPad Standard, Air, and Mini models. They even have Samsung Galaxy phones, as I said. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. By the way, buying a device at Gazelle has one real advantage. You don't extend your contract. No 2-year contracts when you buy it at Gazelle. Although they, and by the way, they do support all the major carriers, but you just don't have to worry about signing up for any long-term contracts. It's Gazelle, of course not. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com.
All right, so this new case that I got is from Sena, or Sena, S-E-N-A. They sent it to me to review, and I really like it. It's called the Vetra. It's leather.
That's nice.
And it's for the iPad Pro, and it also lets you easily adjust it so you can do landscape or...
Oh, that's something we've needed, right?
Yes.
Now, it's not a keyboard case.
No keyboard, yeah. So,
but if you had a Bluetooth keyboard, like maybe one of those... I have extra Apple Bluetooth keyboards.
Yeah, then you can...
You could just use that, right. And there's room for it, and the case will hold it up. That's nice.
Yeah, so it's $109, which is pricey. But it does some. It does have some features that other that the Logitech Create, which does include the keyboard, doesn't have, which you can adjust it so it can right. be at all different angles.
There's only
angles.
One angle for the Apple or the Logitech.
But this one, it's all whatever angle you want, whichever angle you want. And then really, what really sold me was this Apple pencil case, because that doesn't have that. The smart case doesn't have that.
It's a real oversight by Apple.
Yeah.
The good news is you can't get these pencils, so it's okay. But right. they don't even put a clip or anything on it.
Yeah,
there's just no
nothing.
Convenient way to store your pencil. I like that. The pen loop makes it very easy. You're never going to lose that pencil.
It's and they are good. Incredibly easy to lose. I yeah. guarantee that. And
have you lost them?
Well, I found it. But, yes. Yeah. You know what? For a long time, because the other iPad case has a pencil holder, just
right.
for a pencil. So we were using that
right.
Until I got this. So it closes with magnets, which is nice, and then puts the device to sleep automatically. That works with magnets as well, doesn't it, your smart battery case?
Smart battery case.
Isn't that what our smart keyboard case? Doesn't
smart
it work with magnets?
Keyboard case. Yeah, you mean like, is it sticky? Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sticky.
Like magnets.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah.
I just thought it was like gooey or something.
You thought it
yes,
got some
it's magnets.
Gum stuck in there?
Because it's got this, the question is, does that case, it uses the magnets, but it doesn't have any reason to use the little
No, it doesn't
there.
Use the yeah. smart connector. Yeah. But they might, they have a lot of interest. They have some
Sena
fancy
makes
leather
a lot of
cases.
Stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, they have a Apple Watch case, that also leather, a fancy case.
I poo-pooed Apple's keyboard case when I first saw it, and I didn't buy one. I bought the Logitech Create. Now I use the Apple keyboard case all the time.
Yeah, you did poo-poo it, and I miss the keyboard. If this is really going to be a pro device,
so
you really need
nice.
The keyboard. So it's nice that you can adjust the angle, and it's
not
nice
a particularly good keyboard on here, but it's enough for password entry mm-hmm. and occasional data entry. It's good. It's nice to have a keyboard.
Yeah, but if you want to be fancy on a business trip,
it's prettier.
If you want to look nice, impress.
Looks like a
win
giant
friends,
mole of skin.
Yeah, win friends and influence people. This is your case, especially if you like to adjust things and you need portrait mode as well as landscape.
It's a little
mode.
Stiff to turn that. Though.
It's a little stiff to turn it. Yes.
Let's see. Now this is the Apple Bluetooth. Keyboard. See, I think
so,
that works quite well with that.
Yeah, you'd have to carry
So that's what you'd have to carry with you. But
yeah,
I think in some ways even better because mm-hmm. it just, and then you can do, and you pair that to that by Bluetooth
mm-hmm.
and you're
probably
good.
We're done. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll take this.
Enjoy that.
Oh, that's yours, Jason?
Jason doesn't need it.
Okay. So that's the Sena case. If you have recommendations for other cases, let me know, because I have not found
you
the
You like trying cases.
I do like trying cases.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is, because I haven't found the perfect one yet, because this has everything but the keyboard, which is unfortunate.
Keyboard does make it more bulky.
It does.
That's just the nature of it.
All right, so news, this LastPass phishing attack, have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. And LastPass, We'll go to the bottom of the story because that's the most important thing. LastPass has made some modifications to LastPass to make that less easy to do. However, it's not a security flaw in LastPass. We should make that
clear.
There
are so few. It's really our own darn fault, right?
It's a phishing scam.
Yeah.
Same thing can happen to your bank or any secure site. It's the nature of the web is that these elements that make up a web page are easily stolen, effectively. You can just download them using Inspect Element. And once you've got it, you can create a bogus page that looks exactly like the LastPass page. But we've been telling people for years, never just say, oh, that's the right page because it looks right. You have to check the URL, make sure it's a secure login, you know, HTTPS, that the padlock is closed. If it's in the case of LastPass, it's an extended certificate. So you'll see the green bar that says this is an extended cert. If you see that and you're on LastPass.com, you don't have to worry. The problem is a bad guy can steal all the elements from the login page, create a new page that's, you know, LastPoose.com or something that looks similar. You may not be, you know, you may be in a hurry, maybe rushing along. You get the LastPass prompt. We do get that a lot. Mm-hmm. What's your password? You enter it in. Even if you have two-factor, you're not really safe because now the thief has your password, and he can even pop up a two-factor page, get your two-factor. That means he has 30 seconds because that two-factor is only good for 30 seconds, but he would have, theoretically, 30 seconds to get into your LastPass account. Once he does, of course, this is why it's important. That is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, if you had my LastPass keys, you'd have every password I've ever done.
You'd be driving that Tesla.
Yeah, it'd be bad, right? You'd get into my bank, everything.
Yes.
So turn on two-factor. That's always a good idea. And it's the same advice we've always given. Be very careful about clicking links in emails, links on web pages, particularly if it asks you for credit card or password information. Make sure you are where you think you are, that it's got a certificate, it's HTTPS. The certificate belongs to the site, so you can check the certificate. Is this LastPass.com? If it's not, don't give them your password.
So we should say that this wasn't in the wild. It's not like this happened to a bunch of people. This was a security researcher that tried to, you know, said, hey, you could do this. They told LastPass, like you said, LastPass fixed it, made it more difficult.
In my opinion, I'm not here to defend LastPass. It's a cheap shot. You could do that with anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of the Internet. Phishing is always a problem, and it's on the user. It's on us to make sure we're not entering our passwords in the wrong place.
Right. So this is mostly not an iOS problem, but we do talk about LastPass a lot.
Yeah, well, we recommend it, and you absolutely should know about it.
You know,
I don't mind. I absolutely want to talk about it. But you're going to see more and more of these security, I hate to use air quotes, flaws, but I'm going to, because it's great traffic builders,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody's going to cover a story like that because they know you're going to click on it. This is not exactly, and we'll ask Steve Gibson tomorrow on Security Now. It's not exactly a security flaw. Not really.
Yeah. But it is a little scary. That it used to be that the phishing emails you would get were so dumb and there was so much, you know, grammar issues and they look and it was.
Which is not to say that a phishing email for LastPass wouldn't be.
Right, but
it could still be ungrammatical and dumb. Probably would be. Same people are doing it.
But weren't they? Okay, so what they were saying was it could look exactly like
it. No, the
like
email would still, dust is stupid.
Is it a pop-up window that you'd see or is it an email?
The only way you get a pop-up window is if you go to a site that's been hacked.
Right. Oh, so the email comes from you clicking on a link in an email.
Or you go to a site that's been hacked and they have a script on there that pops up this fake LastPass window. It's not a big problem. And it's less of a problem now because LastPass has made some of the elements. I don't know exactly what they've done, but they've somehow attempted to make this better.
Okay. I would like to spend a few minutes talking about Stolen, the app cap from last week.
This is the first time I have to say congratulations because as far as I know, after doing how many hundreds of shows, this is the first time an app cap has actually been pulled from the app store within days of its pick.
Yes. I picked it last week.
They were on top of the world and then...
Right. So here was if you haven't been following this story, it was an app that would let you buy and sell people, which I always thought was weird and creepy. But what I learned from this experience is that my experience in life is different than everyone else's. So I wasn't offended by that.
No.
No, that's not what I learned?
No. You did learn that.
Please don't
blame yourself, though.
No,
I think there's a little hypersensitivity here. Stolen, incidentally, voluntarily pulled the app.
Right,
Apple didn't pull the app. If you're getting harassed, on Twitter 10 times worse than anything that would ever happen to you on Stolen. This to me, is an example of political correctness gone way out of control. Now, I'm a guy, so I'm not going to say anything. I'll let you say if you feel like it's harassment.
Well, I don't think it's a gender issue, because I also get harassed, and I didn't feel this.
So I get harassed all the time.
My experience is really different than other women who are getting harassed.
Two things that happened. One is that people said, oh, you're buying and selling people as if they're chattel. Really? Come on. I mean, there's fantasy football. Are you buying and selling?
Right, trading cards was the idea, yeah.
I mean, Peyton Manning, is he chattel now because you put him on your team? I don't know.
Okay.
And then the other problem was, if you own somebody, you could put a comment on their page, on Stolen, not on Twitter, not anywhere else, just on Stolen, and that could be a harassing comment. Frankly, if you want to harass somebody, put it on Twitter. It's much more public. Everybody
exactly.
can see it.
Okay, so the people that were complaining were people that were mostly women that were getting harassed. So, but there is that aspect of buying and selling people, and there is this still a very gaping wound of racism in this, you know, in our country where...
Well, then I think no African American should be playing fantasy football.
So, I think that touched a nerve for people, the buying and selling of people. That is sensitive. I didn't hear a huge outcry from the African-American community saying, like, this particular thing is harassing to me. All kinds of other things that are really harassing in every daily life for a lot of African-American people, and maybe this wasn't something they were really concerned with.
It was really one person. It was the editor of Gadget who made a big deal about it, Holly Brockwell. She's the Woman of the Year 2015, so... she's got to be a great person. I don't know Holly. She expressed some problems with Secret. That's her privilege and prerogative. Stolen.
Uh-huh.
I always call it Secret, which is far worse, by the way, than anything Stolen ever did. But I think in this case, way over the top. And I understand Stolen said, big deal, we'll pull the plug. It wasn't making us any money anyway.
Well, they were like, oh, we had no idea. It was a little bit naive of them to have no idea, but, you know.
But there's a bigger problem, which is that Twitter is a massive hive of villainy and scum. And you could pull all the Stolens in the world you want, that the harassment is not going to go away, because it happens in a much more public place called Twitter.
And what was interesting is Holly Brockwell has now been really harassed on Twitter. Like, she's been attacked.
Well, that's shameful. That shouldn't happen.
Right.
She has the right to complain about Stolen. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't see Stolen as being the problem.
No,
I do see Twitter as being the problem.
Well, I think that the Internet is...
The Internet's really, the problem.
There is this sweet spot between people getting harassed and censorship. So that's the thing. Like, some people are saying this is censorship. This is game.
No,
just
this is not censorship.
It's not censorship. But I'm saying that's what happens. That's what Facebook does.
Right.
That's why you're not harassed on Facebook, because they just censor things.
No, you're not harassed on Facebook because you're required to use your real identity. And
that's a problem,
way
too.
Back on harassment.
Yeah, but it's a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah. I understand we need it. I'm not saying Twitter. I don't know what Twitter's solution is. You're absolutely right. It's very challenging. I think a real names policy goes a long way to eliminating this. At least if you're getting harassed, you know exactly who's harassing you. I think that stops harassers cold, because anonymity is key to the harassment. And yet, it's true. We need places for people to express themselves anonymously. How many places like that do we need? Do we need Twitter to be that place? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think Twitter is going to, if they want to stay in business, eventually they're going to have to address this one way or the other.
It's complicated, and part of me didn't even want to talk about it at all, you know,
and
that's when I was like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, I don't...
Well, you picked it as your app cap.
Right.
And that's the first time I can remember an app cap has been pulled right after being picked.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Because it's like you're popular, you're on top of the world, people are loving you. Oh, gosh, people are getting harassed. Nowhere near the level of harassment that's happening on Twitter. I don't see Twitter saying, oh, yeah, we better not do this anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's complicated. I mean, because we get people saying nasty stuff about us, but, you know,
You and I have both been victims of harassment, but you could make the argument we've signed up for it.
Right, exactly.
If you're in a public position, in a public figure, you've kind of, you know, maybe you didn't know the level you were going to get, but you signed up for it. And so if you're a private person and your Twitter handle's being bought and sold on Stolen, I could see you might say, well, gosh, I didn't sign up for this. Stolen did have an opt-out.
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
But some people said that wasn't enough, and so it's gone. I I feel like this is overreaction, but it's in everybody's rights, and Holly Brockwell's right to write about it. It's Stolen's right to pull the plug on it.
Yeah, I think it brought up a lot of different issues. Also, just the idea that you can't deface my Twitter account, and people were so offended by that. Like, my Twitter account is not me. Like, I am a real human person with, like, you know, real children and a family and life outside of Twitter. That's not so. People who see their Twitter account as themselves, that's a bigger problem too.
Do not identify with your Twitter account, okay?
So yeah, you know what I'm saying.
That's
also
a
just the worth, like a lot of like likes and favorites and stuff, you know,
we've functioned
in this way of like people as commodities, how many likes they get.
They value themselves by the number of followers they have on Instagram or how many likes a picture gets on Instagram. That is not your net worth.
Right. So what I learned was my experience is different than other people's experiences.
Everybody gets to choose their experience. That's exactly right.
All right. iTunes Radio, now part of the paid tier of Apple Music.
You know, we didn't cover this on Twit or on the new screensavers because I thought, A, do you even know what that means?
Yeah, who uses iTunes Radio? It's different than Beats One.
And B, do you care?
Yeah.
So iTunes Radio was kind of Apple's Pandora, right?
I guess so. But it was never as good as Pandora.
It's not Beats. We're not talking about Beats 1.
No, it was, it was like, if you like this, you'll like this. But it was never as good as Pandora.
I think it was a little used feature, to be honest with you. And the idea was you'd pick a station. Was it by mood? It's so funny. I've never even used it.
Yeah.
Right? I remember discovering it and saying, why don't more people know about this? This is great. And then I never used it again. In any event, you can't do it for free anymore. You have to pay for it. I imagine there's some people who were using it that loved it. You might want to try the free tier of Pandora. Spotify has a radio free tier. So does Stitcher. So does Slacker. There are a lot of choices for free music tier in tune. What is it? Tune In Internet Radio. That does it as well. Maybe Apple just decided no one was using it, or they said, boy, this is a real cash cow. We got to do it. I saw that story everywhere, and I thought, does anybody even know what that is, or why would they care? Do you know?
I think they're getting rid of it because for
nobody,
a marketing.
Nobody used it.
Right, but also it's like they also want to push Beats One.
It's not the same, though, because Beats One is like a traditional radio station where you don't get to choose.
Right, but I think they didn't want people to get confused. What's iTunes Radio? Is that Beats One? What's the difference between the two? If no one was using it, they probably figured
out. Well, that's the way to solve it. Just start charging for it. People figure it out.
But Beats One is still free.
Now, that's confusing.
Yes.
Okay.
But Apple Music, $10 a month.
You've heard this speculation, and I think very valid speculation, that Apple's going to launch more than Beats One, and this may be really why they did it, that they have apparently the technology and the trademarks and the websites for Beats 2, 3, 4, 5, more Beats stations. Mm. Those, I wonder, would they continue to be free? It's great promotion. One of the reasons I think they do Beats One free is because the record labels love it. They believe radio is really important to breaking a record, and they'd love to see some sort of internet radio that broke music, and they believe Apple's doing a good job with Beats One. I think Apple will launch Beats 2, 3, 4, and 5, and that may be why they started to make people pay for this. I don't know.
What about this bug that your iPhone 6S was showing the wrong battery percentage? Apple Insider says that Apple knows that some people were getting the wrong battery percentage shown on their iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. And Apple's working on a fix.
The complaint I have heard more than once is that the phone will say there's 10% or 20% left and then die. Is that the bug, I wonder? Or is it showing more than you? Is it showing less than you have?
I think it's showing less than what you have. Maybe more than what
you have. Who would complain about less? Like, oh, wow, I get an extra hour. I think that'd be happy, happy, joy, joy.
Yeah.
But the problem is if it says you have battery left and you don't, that's not so good.
That's a real problem.
Anyway, they know it. They're going to fix it.
That's
all in software. That's easy to fix.
I guess the battery percentage is getting stuck. So it would
say it's not going anywhere.
87% all day. Plug it in for an hour, we're still 87%.
Well, I've noticed that. I wonder if Apple did that on purpose. Because, I'm at 70%. It hardly goes down. I was using Waze, and I got out of the car and went inside and came back. And Waze, I guess, had kept the phone awake. But the battery was still great. So is that because Apple's made it that way or because it's such a great battery?
Great question. All right, well, should we thank Ring, who's another sponsor?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
I'm really excited. I have my Ring doorbell now, and I'm super excited about it.
You know, I'm really proud of them because something happened this week in the news on Ring. Well, let's talk about what Ring is.
Okay.
But, it's a doorbell fact, I'll ring it right now.
Ding dong.
I am Pavlov's dog. I hear that now. I want to go. So,
who's on my phone?
It's a doorbell that replaces your wired doorbell, or even better, it will work on places where you don't have a wire because it has a built-in year-long lithium-ion battery in it. And but it's really easy to install. We had a wired doorbell, so I just there was two screws that hold the wired doorbell, and then there's two little wires coming out of your door jam there. And I just I used all the tools because they provide you a level, a drill bit, screw bit, screwdriver handle. Notice a USB cable, that's for the recharging, the screws you need, and there's the doorbell. It was very easy. It took me about, you know, I'm slow, I'm not a handyman, so maybe 45 minutes to install from beginning to end, including removing the old doorbell, putting the new one on, pairing it with your Wi-Fi, and that's important because now you've got a camera in here, a speaker, and a microphone, and whenever there's motion, the camera comes on and will, if you wish, alert you on your smartphone or your tablet, no matter where you are. If somebody rings the doorbell, you also get an alert saying somebody's at the door, and you can talk to them like this guy's doing in his car right now. That means if the delivery guy comes, you could say, hey, just leave the package right there. I'm in the tub. Or if a bad guy comes and rings the doorbell with an ID to see if you're home.
There's the bad guy.
He doesn't look like a delivery. He looks like a bad guy. You say, hey, can't come to the door right now. What is it? And he'll run away because he's not going to break into your house because he thinks you're home. So it's kind of like security. It's funny, I should open my Ring because I got a Ring earlier and I realized that I had a package, fairly expensive package, delivered to my house. I thought I had it delivered here, so I wanted to keep an eye on it. So there was motion out front of my house. Let me rotate this so you can see it a little bit bigger. And by the way, you can hear the microphone too. There was motion outside, but I didn't see it. And then I realized, oh, there is a package. They delivered. See, he's delivering the package. Actually, that's Mario. Mario, get the ping the... Hey! Oh, crap. That was earlier. If it had been now, could have pressed the button and say, hey, Mario, could you bring that package in with you?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
When your kids, when they're teenagers, you're going to want this because you'll know when they come home late. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait up anymore.
Or if they come home with someone.
Yeah, you have documentation. They're standing there necking. You can go, hey, knock it off. I'm here. That is so much fun. Ring.com/iOS today. You can get your Ring video doorbell right now with free expedited FedEx shipping at ring.com/iOS today. Now, I do want to commend them because there was a big news story about Ring, security issue with Ring. It turned out a security researcher found out that you could remove the doorbell. By the way, to do that, you need a special drill bit. Okay, there's a special bit on here, a special screw. That's the security screw. You could remove the doorbell, plug it into a USB key to a computer using a hacker software, you could get the person's my Wi-Fi password and log in off of there. That's a security flaw. Now, I did mention that, well, I'll have video of the guy doing it, and oh, by the way, I'm much more disturbed that he took my doorbell than he's got my password. But let's say the attack is he's surreptitiously in the night.
Mm-hmm.
When you're asleep, he sneaks up, he takes your doorbell off. You don't hear it ringing, although I always do. You don't hear it, you don't notice it. He takes the password, puts it back on, and then you wake up the next morning. Now, you still have a video record of it. So, but that's a real security concern. But I'm very proud of Ring because it turns out, and I didn't know this, they have built in an automatic over-the-air update feature to the Ring video doorbell. As soon as they were notified about this, before it went public, they pushed a fix. They said, no, this is no longer a vulnerability. We fixed it. So they have upgraded this. So don't worry if you bought a Ring video doorbell or you're thinking about it. This is no longer an attack. And I really love it that these automatic updates come to the Ring video doorbell because it is on your Wi-Fi. And so as with all Internet of Things, you've got to be secure. They have a high priority of security, and I'm really proud of them for it.
And they acted fast, too.
They acted right away before it was a public problem. So every single person who owns Ring is not vulnerable. If you saw that story, do not worry. And you could buy this with confidence. They really stand behind their product. I'm really proud of them. Ring.com/iOS today. Ring.com/iOS today for your free expedited FedEx shipping.
So this is the time where we talk about your emails and your tweets and your voicemails. Thank you for sending them all in. I got a tweet from Michael Rock last week. We were talking about cables and getting the right cable. He recommended these tiny little devices that you can cover your cables with. They're assorted heat shrink tubes.
I need something.
So you can.
What do those do?
They look like little leg warmers.
Colors?
They go over your cable to, let's see.
To what? To make it more
if it's bro, if it's
robust?
Torn.
Oh, that's torn, a good idea. And then you have a little heat. Those are heat shrink cables. So
yeah,
you heat them up with a little blow dryer,
mm-hmm.
and they go.
Right.
And then a lot of, we use these all the time. And
you can buy 328 of them for $8.69.
And you just heat it up with a hairdryer, or they have a special tool if you don't, but a hairdryer works fine.
Heat shrink tubes.
Yeah, heat shrink tubing. That's
great. They
look
like little socks, too. Philip A. Shane also tweeted, he's the director of Being Elmo. Did you ever watch that documentary, Being Elmo?
He watches this show?
Yes. He does.
That is great. If you've not seen that documentary, it is awesome. It's about the guy in the Elmo suit. There he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's on Netflix. It's
Philip
so
A. Shane
good.
Is director and writer, and he, his wife works with visually impaired kids and was looking for apps that would help them learn how to type.
Oh, he didn't really mention us, did he?
No, he did.
He did.
He mentioned me. He said, Megan Maroney, I am looking for this. See?
Look at that. Hi, Philip.
So I had no idea, but I sent a little tweet out saying, you know, who else? Does anyone else know this? And we got some tweets back. Richard Dummer, he says that he's visually impaired, and he learned on a regular keyboard, and it was easy to transfer that to the iOS keyboard. So
he recommended a PC software.
Right. And I have kids that I need to teach how to type. We tried typing without tears. Keyboarding without tears.
Did they cry?
There were no tears.
Okay.
That's part of the handwriting without tears method.
We use Mavis Beacon's typing. Is that still around? It's a CD
program.
The problem with that, if the kids are blind, they can't see the challenge. Mm-hmm. So it's not good for kids without sight. So he says to the kids, she teaches blind kids, but they
visually
need typing.
Visually impaired kids.
Okay.
And so, you know, they probably know about voiceover. Voiceover is what
needs is a program that instead of, you know, most of the programs are like Space Invaders and the letters come down and you type V, Q, but you have to be able to see the screen. But they needed something that'll do it verbally. Say V, Q, and then you would type it.
Mm-hmm.
And did you find anything like that?
I didn't find anything. That's why I'm sending it out again to see if people know of anything. All I know is there's VoiceOver, which I'm sure he already knows. I did see just today, as I was looking at the news, there's this futuristic Braille touchscreen. It was in Popular Science. I don't know if we can show that. That looks cool. It's not out yet. But there is a Braille touchscreen in the works according
to
Popular
neat.
Science.
Yeah. I've seen those before. They call them Braille screens, but it really is just a metal bar that forms the Braille in real time, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Here's an online site, typingtutor-online.com, that is a traditional typing tutor, but one of their specialties is it does work using audio for blind users or vision impaired users. So this would be one that you could try. And the nice thing about this is it'll work on anything because it's just a website, right? In fact, what's nice is it has other keyboards as well as U.S. QWERTY. It has other countries, including Azerty. And you could even learn, as I've always wanted to do, the Dvorak keyboard. A lot of people think this is a more efficient keyboard. So should we try it? You want to learn the Dvorak keyboard? So it has exercises. You might want to have a teacher. If you had a screen reader, though, this is a pretty clean site. You might want to have a teacher walk them through at least the starting process. But apparently, according to them, this does work for kids with vision impairments. So that's one possible, typingtutor-online.com. But I bet you there's others. This has been around a long time. So there you go. And really, you know, if you learn how to type, you don't look at the keyboard anymore.
Right.
So a great skill to have, I would think.
Right. So if anybody else has suggestions.
We want more.
Let us know. And thank you, Philip A. Shane. And we are big fans of Being Elmo, the documentary.
No, if you haven't watched that on Netflix, it'll warm your heart because it's about the actor inside the Elmo suit.
Yeah, it's great.
And wow, it's great.
Bruce wants us to talk more about the Apple TV. So new Apple TV apps and other information that would help all Apple TV owners. So I've heard you, Bruce, and I'm going to definitely do that. He also specifically said, is there a case for the remote, which includes a string, to eliminate throwing the remote at the TV while playing games? Or I guess also if you're angry at Siri for not knowing, throwing the remote if it's around your waist. So Apple has a remote loop. It's not really a case. It's just sort of a loop that attaches and it's $12.99. And it attaches to the lightning cable.
Didn't that come in the box? Thought it did.
It didn't come in my box.
Oh, I might have taken yours.
Maybe.
They have a remote loop. They sell it. I don't know why. I thought that was... Maybe it's not. But you need that, like, for the Wiimote.
Yeah.
Because, like, with a lot of people with Nintendo Wiimotes,
right,
destroy
their
TV.
Right, mad at you and...
Mm-hmm. Ow.
So, Bruce, thank you for writing in.
Good tip.
And I definitely will keep that in mind. And Brianna asks, I have been trying to find an app that will let me set various to-dos and habits with a customized frequency and track how often I accomplish that goal, i.e. drinking water 6 times a day. Or Inbox Zero. And we talked about an app called Strides, which I have been using.
There you go.
And it does do that. So you can, I'll show it here on my screen. If
this
you
is the
see.
Idea. This is to get you into the habit of doing good things.
Right. But her thing was, you know, just to be reminded specific times. Like, you don't want to be reminded 10
it's
times a day.
Time to do that.
So,
thing.
Like, drinking water, you can specify how many times. So I have 8 times a day, meditate 1 time a day, read 5 times this week.
Do you have to be reminded to read?
Yeah, I do. Because otherwise I'm going to be on Facebook all night and then go to sleep.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
So it's like it pops up and says, time to read. Yeah. Get off your devices.
Facebook will do that to you.
It will.
3 hours later, oh, my God, I've been on Facebook this whole time.
Yeah, I was interested listening to your TWiT discussion about virtual reality versus augmented reality, and that is what Ben was saying, that there are devices, like there's things like Facebook. You don't make an appointment for Facebook.
Right.
You don't say, like,
you
I'm
just live there all the
like,
time.
Yeah, like I'm the next hour I'm going to spend on Facebook. So that's,
you know,
like,
I found, and maybe it's who I'm following, but I do a lot of reading because of Facebook. So Facebook is, oddly enough, become one of my news beat checks. Of course, I tech meme, and we were talking about this offline, Ars Technica. There are certain sites I read every day because I'm looking for news stories. But I've noticed that I've found a lot of great stories from the people I follow on Facebook. And I follow the link and I'm reading articles. So I end up doing a lot of reading. I bet you do too when you're on Facebook. It's magazine articles.
Yeah.
It's websites. It's not novels.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, novels. But yeah, no, I look at people's pictures of their puppies and their vacations and that sort of thing, which is fine. But also, I want to be doing other things as well.
Yeah, yeah. Remind me to read.
Yes. So, thanks for your emails. Join our subreddit. Go there and post comments. You can call us. Any way you want to get in contact.
You know what's a really good way to read?
What?
You don't have to remind me to read because I get in the car and it's reading to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I love Audible. And I do listen to a lot of novels. I am still listening to Con Marie, the tidying up book. Because I want, and I'm not going to tidy up till I read the whole thing. So I'm stretching that as long as I can.
Forever.
But I want to learn all the rules for tidying up. That's, by the way, I'm going to get you an Audible book because I think you would like Audible. I mean, you, the listener.
Right, because I have mine.
Yeah, it's a wonderful 180,000 books. It's an audio bookstore. So many great books. And then some of it's fiction. A lot of it's fiction. Like, there's the whole Harry Potter series. A lot of it's nonfiction. But there's also radio, there's performances, there's lectures. In fact, they have the entire Great Courses. Those are college lectures. If you like to learn, Audible is a natural for you. We're taking French courses. We're trying to decide which one to take. They have the Pimsleur, very famous Pimsleur system. They have an entire French 1, 2, and 3, so you can really complete a whole, you could learn French from Audible. But then we found another one from Collins that a lot of people like because Audible always has the reviews under the books. And so we're listening to the first lesson of each, trying to decide which French lesson. And because we're going to be in Paris in September, we thought it'd be really fun this time to speak French when we get there. That's the kind of thing Audible can do. It can change your life. And because there is a lot of downtime in the car, if you've got a commute, washing dishes, walking the dog. I exercise every day now, and thank God I have Audible, because that is the most boring thing in the world. Except when you're listening to Water for Elephants, you want to go another mile. It's so good. So go to audible.com/iOS today. audible.com/iOS today. And you're going to be able to sign up for the Gold account. Now, this is the book a month subscription, which I really love having a subscription. You also get the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So you have some other stuff to listen to. Oh, Jane Bryant Quinn, she's great on money. That'd be a great book. So you can learn. There's The Martian.
Mm-hmm.
There's Spark Joy. That's Marie. You don't have to follow every link, I tell you. Poor Anthony. I'm going, and there's that. But that's what happens. You get to Audible and you go, oh, but I want that book. I want that book.
Yeah.
Look, get the first one. See how you feel about it. You will notice that once you're an Audible user, when you meet other Audible users, the first thing you start talking about is the great books you're reading. And isn't that the conversation you'd rather have?
That's the conversation, you know? I want to have right now. We listen to The Martian. You talk about how many times we're going to watch the movie. We listen to the book like 3 or 4 times.
See, that's different. I would listen to the book again. Yeah, much more so than watching the movie. I don't know why that is, but and that's the other thing that's so, there it is, life-changing magic of tidying up. That's what's so great about Audible. Every book you buy is in your library forever. Mm-hmm. So I have all the books I've been buying. I've been an Audible member since 2000, 15 years. I have hundreds of books, and I can go back and listen. I got a lot of classics. There was a period of time when I got, like, all the great classics. I have all the Charles Dickens. And so I have stuff I can listen to anytime. And I just went back and started listening to Master and Commander again, which is the first of a 21-book series. They call it the Aubrey Maturin series by Patrick O'Brien. If you love seafaring novels, this is the Great Napoleonic Wars. Oh, my gosh, is it good.
Do you listen to them on your Echo? On your Amazon?
I do.
Yeah,
your Echo will read to you. I say, Echo, read me my book, and it'll start reading. I do that when I'm washing dishes because the Echo's in the kitchen or cleaning the house. And it's so great. Anyway, audible.com/iOS today. We're going to set you up with that gold count. Free book, Daily Digest, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. The thing is, it's cool. You don't pay for the first 30 days. If you cancel any time in the first 30 days, you'll have paid nothing. It will be completely free. But the book is yours to keep. You can keep the book. So, well, look, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I should read that.
You should.
Dale Carnegie. audible.com/iOS today. Hey, one more thing. I really want to mention this because we just started it, and I'm going to start writing for it. You could, too, if you want. We finally have a TWIT newsletter. People have asked us for this. We promise we're not going to use your address for anything else. We're using MailChimp. It's double opt-in, so you have to sign up, and then it'll send you an email saying you really want it, and you have to confirm your email. Don't worry. We're going to do best practices on this. We promise you your email address is private. I have to say that because people are worried. We will never, ever, ever, ever use it for anything but this newsletter. You'll get one email a week from us. Unless there's an emergency. Like when I die, they'll send out an email saying, Leo's dead, goodbye. Twit.tv, that's not going to happen. You're supposed to say, no, Leo, that couldn't possibly happen. Twit.tv/newsletter if you'd like to subscribe. It's going to mostly be, here's what's coming. It's going to come out Sunday night for what's coming up in the week ahead. I'll be writing in every issue. If you'd like to, we'd love it if you would. And, of course, we'll include your thoughts and comments, too, if you send them to us. The newsletter, free to subscribe to, no salesman will call, twit.tv/newsletter. We just announced it yesterday. I think more than 1,200 people have already signed up. But I want everybody who wants it to get it. So I wanted to let you know about that. twit.tv/newsletter. Now is it time to put on funny hats?
This is the section where we wear funny hats and talk about our favorite app Caps.
Gee, I feel like this helmet really isn't going to protect me if a marauding knight swings at me.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Oh, because you're wearing your R2-D2.
Mm-hmm, I am R2-D2.
Cap.
Cap, yes. This is Kate, I think, sewed this. Kate?
She
Cat.
Is...
Cat.
Cat.
Sorry. Cat.
She does a knitting podcast.
Cat.
And she it's so good. What does it say? Knitting with Cat? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Original by Kat. Let's knit together.
Yeah.
.com.
And that's got a little button for his eye. You know what?
Awesome.
My kid would love that.
Or
Megan.
Yeah. Well, I don't have lice, so you can give it to him. As far as I know.
Thanks for
so
sharing.
Let's hope that this app Cap lasts longer than a week. But you know, there's privacy issues with this too. My favorite app is Just Press Record.
This is the best ever. Don't say anything bad. Because I don't want it to die. This, for a journalist, is great. I used it yesterday. Go ahead, show us how it works.
Okay, here it is. Just press record, and that's really all I do.
It's on your watch, it's on your phone, and it's recording. You know what's really interesting? What I found fascinating is the watch actually has a pretty decent mic.
Yeah, so it recorded here, it plays back.
Yep. But it instantly copies to your phone, too.
Yeah, and to your iCloud.
So it's in the cloud as well.
It's in the cloud, nice. So that's why it's dangerous. Be careful when you press that button. But if you need to record someone saying something they shouldn't be saying.
Now, you launched the app, but some watch faces have a complication.
What?
You didn't know this, huh?
No.
Look at this. So I have the chronograph face, and I've customized the complication right up here. Whoops. No,
well, yeah, stop. I see it in the top right there, that microphone.
I've customized the complication. You can have Just Press Record. At anywhere where there's a complication, those are those little things that you have on a watch face. And so this is actually, for a radio guy, this is my favorite watch face because I've got a stopwatch, so I can time those commercials, right? I've got my calendar and my weather. You could choose the complication, but this is just press record. Watch. It launches, and now I'm recording. And you know what's so cool about that? Do you see how fast that was?
Yeah, it's very
so
fast.
So if, I'm talking to the mayor, and the mayor says, man, I had a rough light night last night. I was getting bribed like crazy. I can just, before he even knows it, fire up that recorder and record that conversation. Unless you think this is not going to sound very good. Gosh, you really am making it sound like you could use it to bug people.
Well, also, like, then, you know, the mayor says, hey, did you just record that on your watch? Give me your watch. It's already on my iPad.
Too late!
It's already on my iPad.
So,
Mr. Mayor, or Leo, if you should happen to, we're always recording what you say. And
I know, so. I'm behind. So, here's the recording I just made.
Yep, and here's the one I just made.
Which is pretty wild. It shows up on the phone. I'll play it back so you can hear it, because the truth is, the microphone's pretty good. Actually, you know, let me play the one I did yesterday.
The interview?
Yeah, so we had a kid in the studio who wanted to interview me for his sixth grade report, which was fine, about ad blockers. But I started answering his questions, and he pulled out his phone and he started typing like this on his phone. I said, this is going to take all day. So I said, "What? Hey, I got an idea. Let me record you, and then I'll just email you the recording." It was so easy.
Aww. I'm sitting here with Addie.
His name was Addie.
I am sitting here with Addie, who is going to now ask me some questions for Addie's.
This is recording from my watch. Now, you could record from your phone. It would sound even better.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
And if you got that microphone I told you about.
Microphone?
Yeah.
What kind of businesses are most affected by ad blockers?
I would say.
So he did we did a 6-minute interview. And then all I had to do was press this button that said, oh, look, somebody's at my doorbell. All I did was press this button and share it, and I emailed it to him, and he had it. This is this program. Well, it's a couple of bucks, right?
Yeah, $1.99, I think.
So I just...
$4.99.
Worth it. It's worth it at twice the price. awesome. It's from Open Planet Software. It's got a weird name that I can never remember. Just press record. I thought you forgot it, too.
It does. It's exactly what it says. That's why it's weird.
Just
right?
Press record. I didn't know it goes to iCloud, so now those recordings are in my iCloud as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be careful what you say.
No, it's just so handy.
Yeah. Let's promise never to blackmail each other.
No. You know what? But it's for a radio reporter, times have really changed. You have to carry around a cassette on your show. And now I could just go, well, Your Honor.
Yes.
Tell me what you think.
Always tell someone before you're recording them, but...
Yeah, there are laws. State laws require, it depends on your state, but they require the notice before you record somebody. But you say, hey, I'm recording this, and the mayor will think, you're crazy. You're talking into your watch. I could say anything I want because, woo-woo. Right?
Right.
Right. I don't know why I'm picking on our mayor.
I know, the mayor.
We have a very nice mayor.
All right, so just press record, $4.99. What's yours? Art.
Oh!
Rage against the machine.
So I've been using Art Rage so long. It used to be free, and it was on a Macintosh. It was a program I recommended all the time. In fact, I think it might have been an AppCap many years ago. But here we come with this iPad Pro and the Pencil. And I thought, oh, poor Art Rage. They've been eclipsed by great programs, which we highly recommend. In fact, I got for my mom. What is the painting program we tell everybody?
Procreate.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say, Art Rage, they came back big time. $4.99. This is the first time I've used it on my iPad Pro, so it's putting some stuff in. This is much like Procreate, a natural material painting program, okay? And I'm going to tell my mom about this, because remember, I bought her an iPad Pro because she's an artist, and I wanted her to have something. In fact, she'd used Art Rage that was natural material. Now, first of all, if you compare this palette to the Procreate palette, you see it's much more elaborate. Let's pick a better color, though. Let's pick some blue here. And I have like a rapidograph, very fine. Look at that point. I have the big... But look, the texture is pressure sensitive. If you really want to lather paint on it... let me pick a better color here. Wait a minute. Brighter color. You really want to lather... Hello? Hello, computer. What did I do wrong? Am I doing something
wrong? Is it the eraser?
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like it's a shading.
It's shading it, yeah. I guess it won't do a different color because it's the color that I started with. Airbrush? Oh, now I can do a different color. And, of course, the more you do it. This is very aware about of media, the paper you use. This is very aware of the paint you're using and how much paint you've layered on. You layer on more and more and more. There you go. Let's fill it. You see, this is so cool. I don't even know what this tool does. This is, I guess, it's a magnifying tool of some kind. What is this, glitter?
Ooh, glitter.
I'm going to sparkle glitter on everything. I love it.
That's glitter without the mess. I love that.
Save the painting, create a new painting. It has layers, by the way. It has a lot of features that high-end painting programs you've come to expect. You can sample color from another thing, which is, you know, I've got a color picker. It supports Dropbox at Creative Cloud or DeviantArt's Stash cloud storage. All the stuff you'd expect. I have to say, I'm so glad to see these guys still in biz because they do such a great job. Should we load in some samples here? Oh, I don't have any samples. I'll have to get some samples for you so I can show you. Add a sample. Look at that. Mm. Look at that. That's because they're using that thick oil. And so it's really nice because it really uses the medium. Really a fantastic program. And I'm really glad to see them back. And at $5... You know, you might as well have Procreate and ArtRage. Give yourself a choice. Notice this setting, Insta-Dry. You can have your paint stay wet for a little bit longer.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, it's really like working with real stuff. Here's the layers. Just nicely done. Thank you very much, ArtRage, you could trace, too. I think it competes well with Procreate. So take a look at it. ArtRage, $4.99.
All right. Thank you. I'll slip it back in here. And I think that's it for today, for this week's
show. It is. Thank you for joining us.
We've covered it all.
11 a.m. When do we do this show? 1:30? 1?
1-ish.
1 o'clock Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC every Monday. Stop by and watch live. We like it if you do. Frankly, you're a big help in the chat room because the chat room is always giving us ideas and suggestions in real time. But if you can't watch live, you can always get it on demand at twit.tv/iOS, right?
iOS, yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Megan Maroney.
Yeah, thank you, Leah Laporte. Should we throw our hats at the camera?
On iOS today. Oh, I was just going to wear this out.
Okay.
Maybe I better.
I shouldn't take that one.